So I want to share a couple of passages out of a very a book that we all know very well, at least to some extent, not one we may turn to very often. It's the book of Job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got a well. I didn't get any thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bring it, Lord. You're like, what? Heard this joke a while ago. This young man was preaching his first trial sermon, and he had been praying and fasting, and the senior pastor sitting behind him encouraging him, young man, bring the word. And he gets up. He says, I want you to turn to the book of Job. Pastor says, sit on down, son, sit on down. It's the book of Job. And I just need you to just follow along with me. Job chapter 1, starting at verse 13. Now, many of us, we know the story of Job. You have often heard people say the patience of Job. So if you understand the story of Job, then you recognize that there is this situation going on in the heavenlies where God is speaking to some of the sons of God, as they call him, or the angels that have come before him. And one of those was Satan at the time. And he says to him, have you considered my servant Job? And so a lot of people have asked the question, well, why would he do that? And then this happens. And I don't want to really focus a lot on that except to say, you must know this, there's always something behind the scenes of what we see in the natural. There's always something behind the scenes as it relates to the things that's going on in your life and going on in my life. And we would do well to remember that. So often we're thinking in this natural plane, and when we're doing that, it affects our ability to stay right with God. Stay right with God, meaning when I say stay right with God, I mean right with him, close to him, but also right with God. And so in this story, we see how this plays out. And starting at verse 13, it says this. It says, now on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating, drinking wine in his oldest brother's, in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen are plowing and donkeys feeding beside them. And then, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They slew the servants with edge of sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Say number one. Then it says, while he was speaking, say while he was speaking. While he was speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Say number two. While he was speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Say number three. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house and fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. That's number four. So all within a span of time, all of this happens. It doesn't really specify the length of time, except to say, while one was speaking, another showed up. And then it goes on and says this. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through all of this, say through all of this. All of this. Come on, say all of this. Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. chapter 2. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about the earth and walking around it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause." Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." So the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life." Now, I want to just add this little caveat there so that you understand. God did not afflict him. Satan did. But God allowed it. In this instance, God allowed it. Then Satan went from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with some boils from the side, from the sole of his foot through the crown of his head. And he took a pot sheared to scrape himself while he was sitting amongst the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity?" Now remember, God had just told Satan he still holds fast his integrity. Now his wife says, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Reading on a little further, it says, "Now when Job's friends heard of the adversity that had come upon him, they came each one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come to sympathize with him and comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes at a distance, they did not recognize him. They raised their voices and wept. And each of them tore their robe, and they threw dust over their heads towards the sky. Then they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights, with no one speaking a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great." So this morning, I want to share this thought with you. Don't waste the pain. Make it count for something good. Don't waste the pain. Make it count for something good. Come on, say it with me. Don't waste the pain. Make it count for something good. Look at somebody close and just say to them, get some eye contact and say, "Don't waste the pain. Make it count for something good." Can you get eye contact with just one other person real quick? Come on. Don't waste the pain. Make it count for something good. When I talk about don't waste the pain, it can be the pain that we see in all types of areas of our lives. It can be the pain of loss, the pain of grief, the pain of disappointment, the pain of rejection, the pain of delay, the pain of failure, the pain of misunderstanding, the pain of misfortune, the pain of lack, the pain of loneliness, the pain of betrayal, the pain of broken relationships, the pain of divorce, the pain of abuse, the pain of physical, mental, or emotional distress. Don't waste the pain. Don't ignore it. Don't avoid it. Don't mask it. Don't hide it. Don't deny it. Make it count for something good. Don't waste the pain. Make it count for something good. When we read this passage of Scripture, and again, it's a familiar passage of Scripture that many saints know, only in part. But here is a man whose life has been completely, utterly attacked, and in many ways destroyed. It says that he was afflicted with boils, and he broke the pots so that he could take the edge in order to scrape the boils. His friends show up, or his so-called friends show up. Now, they did good for 7 days. It says they didn't say a thing. They should have just kept going and not saying anything. Because once they began to talk, they began to try to ascertain and surmise, why is Job going through this? Job had a wife who I believed at one point loved him and maybe even loved him in this moment. But she wasn't understanding the situation either. And so her recourse was, why don't you just curse God and die? I'm talking to somebody this morning. Don't waste the pain. Don't waste the pain. Make it count for something good. Pain, a localized or generalized unpleasant bodily sensation or complex of sensations that cause mild or severe physical, mental discomfort and emotional distress, and typically results from bodily disorder, pain. Pain shows up in many ways, but you and I have a part to play in what we do with that pain. When God spoke this to me, I heard it for myself. Don't waste the pain. Make it count for something good. That's why I wanted to lift up that song, A Joyful Expectation of Good. Because some of you, you're right in the midst of some painful situations. And you're trying to navigate through loss, grief, disappointment, rejection, delay, failure, misunderstanding, misfortune, lack, loneliness, betrayal, broken relationships, maybe a divorce, abuse, physical, mental, or emotional abuse or distress. And you're trying to navigate through the pain, but you can make it work for good. Make it count for something good by God's grace. When we read in this passage concerning Job, his friends that show up have their perspective. And their perspective is one that, well, for this to happen, it must mean that you did something. And because God is a just God, he's judging you in this matter, when in fact, he had done nothing. You see, you and I must continually keep before us and recognize that we are in a fallen world, and in this fallen world, pain is something that shows up from time to time. We will not be free of it until we leave here. But I've made up my mind. I'm not going to waste the pain. I'm going to make it count for good. Going to make it count for good. There is no one that suffered any more than Jesus. There is no one who understood pain and made it work for our good. Now you better clap your hands right about here. Our good. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand. Who for the joy that was set before him, looking at you, looking at me, I will not waste the pain. And there was something in Job that in the midst of, in the natural, we would think he's got every right to deny God. He's got every right to walk away from God. But there was something about his integrity. There was something in him that said, even in the midst of this pain, I will not curse God. Even in the midst of this suffering, even though I can't understand it, Eddie, he's saying, I'm going to keep my heart right. I'm going to keep my heart pure. One thing happens, and even while they're talking, another one shows up, says something. It's like he gets all of this heaped on him in a matter of minutes. And his response is, blessed be the name of the Lord. See, when I talk about don't waste the pain, you want to arrive in a place in God that in the midst of the pain, your response is to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, just practice right about now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When those closest to you trying to get you to go another direction, that's when you've got to stand your ground and say, I will not waste this pain. I may not like this. I may not want this. But if my life belongs to God, and it does, and my steps are ordered by the Lord, and they are, then I have to believe there's something in this that I need to walk through. There's something in this for me to experience, and I will not waste the pain. I will make it count for something good. Just keep looking. Just keep watching. I know it may look a little tight right now, but I'm not going to waste the pain. God has a way of causing things to happen around us and in us. He's forging something in us. He's doing something on the inside of us. No one suffered like Jesus. When we look in the scriptures, we can say there was no one that suffered. No one suffered more than Jesus. But we can truly see suffering as we look at Job. Job's experience is of one that at a certain point he kind of buys into what his friends are saying. They wore him down. They wore him down. They wore him down to the place where he started asking questions. He started asking God. See, because now he's not just dealing with his physical pain. Now he's dealing with the mental bombardment. And have you ever been in such a state physically, and then you got someone talking to you crazy as well? And in that moment, he begins to question God. And God lets him go on, and God lets him ask the questions he's asking. And then God says, okay, so let me ask you some questions. See, God doesn't have a problem with you expressing yourself. All I'm saying to you, while you're expressing yourself, you may be wasting the pain. You may be wasting the time. Because for whatever reason you are dealing with what you're dealing with, there's something that God wants you to get in the moment, not after the fact. You see, God extended mercy and grace to Job so that he was a blessed man at the end. But at any moment, he could have said, listen, Job, see, I thought you were my guy. I guess you're not. Okay. Then we're done. But that's not our God. That's not our God. And so he says, so let me ask you a few questions. Where were you at when I hung the stars? Where were you at when I parted the sea? Where were you at when I laid the foundations? Where were you at when I raised the mountains and scooped out the depths of the sea? Where were you at? And in the midst of that, Job kind of, he comes to himself. He says, okay, I guess I was thinking a little more highly of myself than I ought. In the midst of pain, in the midst of struggle, we all go through seasons where we can, if we're not intentional, we can begin to doubt. Paul, there's Job in the Old Testament, there's Paul in the New Testament. If there's anyone other than Christ that we can look at as one who suffered and suffered greatly, it was Paul. And in Paul's writings, what Paul is wanting you and I to understand is, even though you may not get it in the moment, don't ever allow yourself to think that God is not working in the midst of it. So in Paul's writing, he's encouraging the saints. He's encouraging the saints, but he's not just encouraging the saints out of some revelation, but also out of reality. Because you see, one of the things that pain and struggle and discomfort can do, it can bring you into a place of reality. And so in this case, Paul is writing, let's see here. Paul is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Paul is writing to the saints, and this is what he says. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Don't waste the pain. Make it count for something good. There is glory that God has purposed to get out of your life and out of mine. That's what Paul is writing right here, what he's talking about. It goes on and says this, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore also we speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us up also with Jesus and will present us with you. And then he says this, for all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Come on, say, we do not give up. It says, but though the outward man is decaying or perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, what Job kind of, where he got off is he lost sight of the eternal view. You know when we sing the song, don't want to miss this moment. Every moment in your presence gives way to the eternal, where heaven's reign comes into view. It's a moment, if you will, when a portal opens, when the heavens roll back, and all of a sudden you see heaven, you see God. It's almost like an Isaiah experience. Whoa! And all of a sudden, perspective changes. That's what it's talking about right here. For our momentary light affliction is producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When I talk about not wasting, don't waste the pain. I'm talking about living your life out of a place of eternal perspective that keeps you aligned with what God is doing. Conversation is key. Knowledge of God is absolutely necessary. The company you keep has everything to do with how you will manage the pain and struggles in your life. Job's so-called friends were not the kind of friends he needed right about then. And sometimes, if you're going to manage it, if you're going to cause it to work for good, allow God to work it for good, you may need to make some changes. Not everybody that's saved and born again needs to be in your world. Unless they're helping, or you helping them. I'm talking about don't waste the pain. You don't need people around you that are talking about, I don't know why you're going through that. I mean, is there something in your past? They tried to say a whole lot of stuff about Job. And when you're in the space, I don't know. I don't know why this is happening. What I do know is I have a joyful expectation of good. I don't always know the reason or the purpose for his plan, yet I know that I can trust him always, for I know his good intentions are for me. Just thank the Lord right there, right now. Come on, that his intentions for you. Come on, say, God, I thank you that even in the midst of pain, your good intentions are for me. Thank him one more time. Thank him one more time. Thank him one more time. When Paul is writing here, he's not writing hypothetically. All of Paul's life and his journey was one of pain and suffering. As a matter of fact, when he was on the road to Damascus and Jesus shut him down and then sent word to Naaman and said, I need you. I'm going to use you to share with him what he must suffer for my name's sake. I need you to understand and hear me when I say that word suffering shouldn't be a scary word for you and I. It comes from the word hupomeno. It simply means enduring and sustaining a load of miseries, persecutions, provocations in faith and in patience. In faith and in patience. I'm enduring. I'm enduring. I was looking for one, me too. I'm enduring. I'm enduring. This pain, this struggle is going to work for my good. When I get on the other side of it, there's going to be fruit. There's going to be abundance. There's going to be glory manifested that God's going to get the glory. Don't waste the pain. Pain is not an evil thing when it comes to health, our bodies. How many of you know that our body's designed and when something isn't going right, you might get a little pain? It's an indicator you need to get something checked out. Don't waste the pain. That's why when I started out, I said this, and it's worth repeating, because very often we all can go here. There's something going on. Don't ignore it. Don't avoid it. Don't mask it. Don't hide it. Don't deny it. Don't anesthetize it. Don't do any of that. Ask God, help me to know what's going on here. And trust him. Sometimes we wait too long. Don't waste the pain. Make it count for something good. Paul, in his writing also, Paul was one who found himself challenged by his own physical limitations, his own physical pain. And yet in the midst of that, he said, but I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping. I'm going to take this pain and I'm going to use it to produce power. I'm going to take this pain, I'm going to use it to produce results, good results. That's what God is saying to us this morning. That's what he's saying to you, no matter where you find yourself. I want to keep reiterating to help you understand the scope of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the pain of loss, the pain of grief, the pain of disappointment, the pain of rejection, the pain of delay, the pain of failure, the pain of misunderstanding, the pain of misfortune, the pain of lack, the pain of loneliness, the pain of betrayal, the pain of broken relationships, the pain of divorce, the pain of abuse, the pain of physical, mental, emotional stress. Covers it all. Don't ignore it. Don't avoid it. Don't mask it. Don't hide it. Don't deny it. Make it count for something good. Make it count for something good. Paul struggling in his physical body. No doubt he was in pain as well. In 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, I believe it is. Writes here, and he says this, because of the surpassing greatness of revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Now, I don't know quite how I feel about that. I mean, because see, a lot of people, they live in that space of revelation, 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 revelation. Paul said, because of the revelation, God allowed some things to temper me. It goes on and says this, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that he might leave me. Have you ever been walking through a season of pain and struggle? And you're crying out and you're saying, God, just get me out of it. God, just get me out of it. God, just get me through it. And then he comes back and he answers you like he answered Paul. He has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for power, my power is perfected in pain. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well confident with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong. Don't waste the pain. Make it count for something good. Don't waste the pain. In the midst of the pain, whether it's physical pain, press into that place of worship. Press. If all you can keep saying is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You ever feel something and you're just like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just practice. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you dealing with some physical ailments right now, some physical pain. Come on, just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He knows what you're talking about. Come on, say, thank you, Jesus. 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 I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to make it count for some. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you in physical therapy and different things going on in your body, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've never had anything replaced in my body, but I know we have some in our body who've had knee replacements or hip replacements, different things. And I understand that the recovery and the rehab can be painful. But how many know you got to work through the pain to get on the other side of it? And let me just tell you this. While you're working through the pain, God would that you're growing in him, that you're maturing in him, that when you become pain-free, you're stronger in him. You're wiser in him. Your faith level has gone up in him. Because in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the challenges, all you keep saying is, thank you, Jesus. One more hallelujah. One more praise. the Lord. One more thank you, Jesus, is going to be my tipping point. I'm going to keep praising him. I'm going to keep thanking him. I'm going to keep worshiping him. I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going to waste this pain. I'm going to make it count for something good, for my good and for the good of others as well. Lift up a shout of praise. Hey, glory, 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 glory. In the Message Bible, that same passage reads like this: because of the extravagance of those revelations, so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he did was push me to my knees. Don't waste the pain. Don't waste the pain. When the enemy's trying to knock you down, just drop to one knee. Take a knee. Take a knee. Take a knee and lift your hand and give God praise. Take a knee and lift your hands and give God praise. In the midst of this pain, in the midst of this struggle, in the midst of this challenge, I'm not going to waste the pain. I'm going to make it count for something good. What he did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. Three times I did that, and then he told me this: my grace is sufficient. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness, in your pain. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. Wow. How can pain, discomfort, be a gift? It's all in your perspective. That's what Paul had working for him. That's what Job had working for him. He got off just a little bit, but that's because he didn't have the right folk around him. See, when you're in the midst of pain, you're in the midst of struggle, when your life has taken a turn and you're navigating through loss, grief, disappointment, rejection, delay, failure, misunderstanding, misfortune, lack, loneliness, betrayal, broken relationships, divorce, abuse, physical, mental, or emotional distress, you need the right kind of folk around you who are not going to talk about you, that are not going to question you as if you did something wrong. But those kind of saints that will say, I don't know why you're going through this, but I'm going to stay right with you till we get on the other side of this. I'm going to stay with you. We're going to stay with God until we get on the other side of this. We're going to fast. We're going to pray. When you don't feel like praying, I'm going to pray. When you don't. When you don't have a song, I'll make one up. The greatest gift that God gave me in my worship is my music. It is my place of intimacy in God. That's why I can write the way I write. You see, you just happen to benefit from what I'm just talking to him about. But while you're struggling, while you're working your way through it, I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to lift God up. And when you can join me, join me. But we're not going to leave him ever. You see, that's what Job's friends should have been saying. I mean, after 7 days of sitting still and you didn't hear anything from God that would cause you to talk more positively? 7 days is a long time, David, to sit with somebody and not say a word. And then when you do open your mouth, you're saying all the wrong stuff. You see, but hear me, it is nature. It is our nature. Paul was talking about it right here. I'm trying to understand why this is happening. And then God says to him, know this, my grace is sufficient. Now, listen, he says, because of the extravagant of revelation, so that I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me constant, in constant touch with my limitations. I want you to know something. When you read that, he's not saying God said that. Listen to me. That is what he came up with. And the reason why that's important is because when God does answer him, he says, my grace is enough. My grace is sufficient. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing. I quit focusing on the handicap. I quit focusing on the pain and began to appreciate the gift. The gift, what's the gift? The gift is that God would be willing to allow this in my life, believing that he can trust me with it. That's exactly what he did with Job. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He's a man of integrity. And that old devil said, well, you know, he's good as long as you don't touch his body. I'm going to let you do that too. And then when it's all said and done, God shut down the three. There's another one that showed up. Elihu got another one that showed up a little later. He was talking with a little more common sense, but not a whole lot more. He didn't come with a thus saith the Lord. But at the end of the matter, because Job would not waste the pain and forfeit what God was doing. See, sometimes you must know. No. Not sometimes. You must know that you and I are on display. You and I are on display. People are watching you. Devils are watching you. Angels are watching you. Saints in heaven are watching you. God is watching you. We are on display. And there's something about in the midst of pain and struggle when you and I just begin to praise and worship God. Those around you will begin to wonder, what's going on? The devils will begin to wonder, what's going on? The angels will begin to applaud you and come to your aid. And God might just say, have you considered my servant Marcia? Now see, y'all thinking about Job. I said, Marcia, you was good till then, weren't you? I mean, can you get excited about God looking and say, have you considered my servant? Oh, my. Because whether you know it or not, he's probably already said that more than once. And all I'm adding to it is the message. Don't waste the pain. Make it count for something good. Prophetically, Tammy, that song was for you. This word is for you. Get ready for God to do some incredible things in your life. Get ready for God to do some incredible things in your life. Paul said, once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness, moving in on my pain. Now I will take limitations in stride and with good cheer. Say good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, oppositions, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8, verse 16, the spirit of self testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs or joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified together. Don't waste the pain. For I consider that the sufferings, the pain of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us, revealed in us, revealed through us. Don't waste the pain. Continue to you remind yourself of this. Paul later writes and he says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he searches the hearts, and he who searches the hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So I submit to you that as you navigate and you walk through the pain of loss, grief, disappointment, rejection, delay, failure, misunderstanding, misfortune, lack, loneliness, betrayal, broken relationships, divorce, abuse, physical and mental, emotional distress, I offer to you this, based on this word found in Romans, that one of the best places that you can ever land in is that you begin to exercise your heavenly language. That in the midst of any moment you're finding yourself challenged, struggling, that you just begin to remesso kudre beshe nandu lekete.